some people getting stuff together and coming on in here, but we're going to sing. We're going to sing now. And like Minnie Pearl used to say, so we're going to sing a hymn, and then we're going to let our preacher come. I'll introduce him in just a moment. But let's go ahead and have prayer and thank the Lord for the good time. It's always good. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And so thank the Lord for the merry heart that we're able to have and the full stomach to go with it.
Amen.
So thank you to all the folks that cooked and made the food wonderful. Thank you so much. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Buddy, you lead us in prayer, please.
Our Father, we come to you with the thank you for blessing this day. We thank you for the time of fellowship we've had. Thank you for the Lord of fellowship. Thank you for the food.
Hymn number what?
Number 87, Joy to the World. Number 87.
Appreciate Miss Teresa taking care of the games, even though they were tough. But I guess that's part of the game, isn't it? So it sure does test what you know and don't know. My wife says to me sometimes, she says, "You ought to try out for Jeopardy." And then we watch Jeopardy when we can, and then I'm thinking, no, I don't need to try out for Jeopardy. Because it's always like what you don't know. So, but it's still, I enjoy trying to learn. I think that's part of, that ought to be part of life, is to learn and to never get tired of learning. Young people think when they get out of school, it's over with. It's just starting. Learning the rest of your life, aren't you? So thank you, everybody, for just a great, great afternoon. Now, we have, as I shared this morning, a special guest. Very happy to have Pastor and Mrs. Moorfield with us. And when we were in evangelism, we worked out of the Bible Baptist Church in Collinsville. Brother Moorfield and Sister Moorfield were our pastor and pastor's wife, and we appreciate their friendship and service to the Lord. And so I wanted you to get to meet them. And if you haven't, after church, take some time to get to meet them. This is stomping ground for them. I shared with you today how Pastor and Ms. Moorfield were saved there through the ministry of the Baptist Tabernacle many, many moons ago. We won't say how many moons, but a few moons back. And so this is home area for them. So I appreciate them coming. So I want you to pray for him as he comes to preach the word of the Lord to us. So Pastor, you come on and preach for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ready to go? Okay. All right, Brother Van, appreciate that very much, and it's good to be with you. I appreciate it. I told Brother Van I was in the church here at a fellowship meeting almost 40 years ago. My wife and I were saved in 1967. My wife was saved on a Sunday night, and I was saved on a Monday night. After we were saved, we joined the Old Baptist Tabernacle on East Thomas Street, which probably many of you are familiar with. But after the Lord had called me to preach, and we finished temple, we came back to work with Brother Rudolph Jacobson in Revelation Baptist Church in South Boston. And of course, Brother Jacobs was good friends with Brother Poove. And they had a fellowship meeting here, and I came, and I remembered very well. As I came into the auditorium, I said, man, this is a beautiful auditorium. But I didn't remember it, but like I said, I remember being here many, many years ago. And let me say to you, I do appreciate the wonderful meal, wonderful food. Y'all have wonderful cooks. And I want to say, Darlene, I appreciate the jaw. I appreciate that very much. Okay. All right, take your Bibles, please, open to the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2. This is not my bill, is it, Brother? Luke chapter 2. Brother Van loaned me his Bible here. I always preach over a little. You know, if you ever get used to a small Bible, it ruins you. You can't, you know, it's always preached a little small Bible, the New Testament or something. And anyway, I broke my glasses over the fellowship hall. And so I said, I've got to have another Bible. Of course, if I can't have my glasses, I've got to have large. So Brother Van loaned me this large print, but I appreciate that. All right, Luke chapter 2. Do y'all stand, Brother Van, do you or not? Huh? That's fine. Y'all just mess. That's okay. Luke chapter 2, we begin reading in verse 36, Luke 2. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Let's pray together. Our Father, I do thank you for allowing me to be here today. The people have been very, very gracious and very kind. As Brother Van said, we enjoyed a time around the food and fellowship. That's always enjoyable. But Father, I pray now that as we open the Word of God, that you would give us something for the people, something that they can take home with them, something they can think about. Above everything, Father, something that would help them. To love thee, Lord. We know and we desire to love thee more and more. Many people are struggling. Many people are battling. Many people are having a hard time. So, Father, if it be so, I pray that you might use it. Your word to encourage us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, all of you, of course, are familiar with Anna. That her word means grace or favor. But as you read the story, and somebody has said this, she is one of the forgotten people of Christmas. Remember Simeon? And we take it for granted that Simeon was old. We know that Anna was. She was 84 years of age. Now, the Bible doesn't say that Simeon was old, but one of the phrases in the verse makes us think that. But if not, these are two that come after the Christmas story. In other words, the Christmas story is not stopped after the Christmas day. It continues on. Of course, there's much to be said in many people around the Christmas story itself. You remember, of course, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke is what we call the physician. Paul said to him, there in prison, writing to Timothy, and he said, only Luke is with me. You read in the book of Acts on three different occasions when Paul was sick that Luke rushed to his rescue, so to speak. And of course, they were very close. And he speaks of him three different times in the New Testament alone. But as we come to the Gospel of Luke this morning to speak on the subject of Anna, let me just give you four things to think about with this lady, 84 years of age. First of all, notice then verse 36, and that was one Anna, prophecies of the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher, who was of a great age. And then, of course, down in verse 37, and she was a widow of about 84 years. Now, some people say that age does not make a difference, but I'm here to tell you that it makes a whole lot of difference. I hear people say, man, I can do things I did 40 years ago. Probably somebody's lying. Somebody is probably lying. If the Lord allows me, I'll be to 68 years old, not this coming Friday, but the following Friday. And you know, any of you having age, you realize how fast time passes. But it does have an effect upon you. You remember the book of Ecclesiastes. Of course, in chapter 12, he said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, why the evil days come not. And then he begins to describe old age. Now, there are some blessings about being old. For example, you get a discount at McDonald's. Me and my wife can go there. We can get two butter biscuits, two cups of coffee, a little over $3. Now, you young people can't do that, see, but we can. But other than the discount at McDonald's is about the only good thing I can think about getting old, okay? But it is a reality. It passes fast. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, when he talks about getting old of that, he talks about the grinders at sea. He talks about the teeth out. He talks about the eyes that begin to fade. When you were young, many of you remember well that how you could sleep and sleep well. Age often changes that. I remember when I was in Chattanooga at that time, I was 25 years old at that time, and I remember my wife had come home. We just had two boys at that time, and she had come home with my dad and mom, and I was going to drive up later. So I decided what I'd do. I said, well, I sleep so sound that what I'll do, in those days we had a little bookcase bed, some of you remember those. And I took the old radio and put it over my head, and I turned it wide open and set the clock. I set it for 6 o'clock. I put it on a rock station so I'd know it would wake me up. Okay? At 9 o'clock I woke up, and that thing was blasting for 3 hours. But you know what the book of Ecclesiastes said? He says you get up, you wake at the sound of the bird. And that's true. In other words, takes nothing at all to wake up. Now, here was a lady, 84 years of age. Oftentimes, as old age comes, there comes many other burdens. There becomes a burden sometimes of what we'd say, finances. Many times, people do not get sometimes Social Security. I've known people through the years, we got a dear lady in our church. He gets about $700 a month Social Security. Now you know as well as I do that $700 a month, if you put gas in the car and you go to the grocery store and you pay your light bill, your $700 by going, unless yours is a lot cheaper than here in Canada. But see, there are many burdens at the old of it. Now, with all of that said, let me say this. Anna does not complain about being 84 years old. She does not sit down because she does not think somehow I'm 84 and I'm no good to anybody, I'm no good to anything. Good thing. Now, it is. She's in the temple, fasting and prayers day and night, serving the Lord. Now, let me say to you today, there are some wonderful, wonderful promises in the Word of God. As we get older, here's what it says, and it was true of Anna, it's true of us. He says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. In other words, you know, when I grew up, people walked barefooted a lot. But anyway, you know, he said your shoes shall be iron and brass. They shall be sufficient for the hard times. Your walk, which is pictured by the feet, He said, God will help you and uphold you and give you the strength. He goes on to say this, in his thy days, so shall thy strength be. In other words, we know that there are three kinds of days in our life. First of all, Ecclesiastes speaks of the evil days. And he says, as thy days, so shall... In other words, when the evil days come, when the hard times come, when the temptations and the battles come, and when you feel like saying, I can't do it, I can't go any further, too many burdens, my children better wear me to death, my grandchildren better wear me to death, you know, I don't have enough to get down. Remember this, is thy day, so shall thy strength be. God has promised you strength for the evil days. He's promised you strength for all your days, and he's promised you strength for every day. Of course, as you get down closer, somebody was, my first cousin passed away this week. And of all my first cousins, it was this gentleman and one more that I've really been close to. And then we'll forget, he called me probably 2 or 3 months ago, and he said, you know, I've got cancer, and they said it's bad, and I'm taking treatments. He said, but you know what? He said, if the Lord took me today, he said, you know, I can say I've enjoyed life. I've had a good life. He said the Lord, he was a good Christian man, did some lay preaching, loved the Lord. But anyway, he said, you know, the Lord's been good to me. He's given me 2 children. I've still got my mom. There was 8 in the family there, boys and girls. I think it was 5 boys and 3 girls, something like that. And he said, I've got my brothers and my sisters. And you know, he said, God has given me some things, and God's given me some things I didn't even need. Didn't even, you know, didn't necessarily, just some things to enjoy. See, it's thy day, so shall thy strength be. And this past Thursday, his wife said, he had a wonderful day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, he said, they were living in South Boston. He said, now, I want to go down next to Clarkson. He said, I want to go down to Clarkson. And they went down. He said, just want to go around, kind of walk around, shop around. Then I want, he said, let's go out and eat. And he said, okay. And they went out to Subway, and he ate. And he just, you know, looked like doing good. All of a sudden, began to throw up. And he died before he got to the hospital. But you know what God has promised? He said, at even, it shall be light. Now, you young people, you don't think much of that. You're young, you think about your family, your children, and that's natural and normal. Okay? But as you get older, you think about, wait a minute, I'm going to die one day. And I've been born again. I know Jesus Christ, but wait a minute. I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave my children. I don't want to leave my mom and dad. God has put in all of us, even the child of God, the desire to live and to be around those that we love. Now, sometimes God gets us to the place that we say, Lord, just take me on home. But you know what he's promised? At even, it shall be light. Even speaks of old age. And as those days come and all the people around you are dying off, the people that you grew up with and the people that you knew growing up, they were seemed old back then. He said, at even it should be light. See, when you get closer to that departing time, again, the book of Psalms says, light is sown to the righteous. You sow something that it may come up, that you may reap it and enjoy it. And so it is a problem. So here it is, Anna, 84 years of age. Not complaining about age. Not complaining about her physical condition, anything else. She's in the temple. Serving the Lord. Then notice something else. There was one Anna, prophet, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow. Now, we don't think much about widowhood today. But had we lived in the days of Anna, we would have. Do you remember what Naomi said to Ruth, to her other daughter-in-law? She said, go back home to your family. Go and find rest in your father's house. Because in that day they had no Social Security. In that day they had no means of income. Oftentimes, you remember, oftentimes a widow was kind of dependent, you know, that she was dependent on everybody else. That is true. That God had promised in the Old Testament. He said, I shall be a husband to the widows. He promised his judgment upon those who took, what we'd say, took advantage of the widows and the orphans, because they had a special place in God's heart. And I think so today. But being a widow is not an easy thing. I'm sorry. You lose the one that you spent your life with. You said, well, you know, Ruth, she fell in love and remarried. That's true, and some people do. Let me say, a fellow I was reading just a while back, a guy made mention, he said, now look, the greatest compliment for a person, you know, he said, you've been married all these years and your wife dies and your husband dies. And he said, you know, most people don't remarry, but he said, if you do, and you know, if you do remarry, find somebody that you would like to spend the rest of your life. He said this. He said that's the greatest compliment. I never thought. He said that's the greatest compliment on Christianity you can give, because what you were saying is this. I love my husband and I love my wife, and my life is so happy serving the Lord together that I'm willing to take a chance and be married. He said, what a compliment on Christianity. And that's true if you think about it. But most people do not. Most people do not remarry. And there's nothing wrong with it, but I'm saying most people do not. Now, here they are. They've lived 30, 40, 50 years. They know what they're going to eat. They can tell you what they think, what they're going to say before they say it, all of that. And all of a sudden, they're gone. Everybody comes to the funeral home, and everybody comes to the visitation, and we're praying for them. Then when the funeral's over, a lot of times the widows go back to the home, and that's it. Nobody comes anymore. Maybe the children may call and check. But a very, very difficult time there for widows. But that's what she was, 84 years of age. Had been a widow a long time. As I said, they were dependent upon God. God has many wonderful things in the New Testament. You remember in the book of Thessalonians, he speaks, in the book of Timothy, he speaks about widows. The church having a part in taking care of the widows. And if a church can, it is a very wonderful thing to have a part. It's a great blessing in that. But now here she had lost one whom she loved so much, and she would live the rest of her life alone. And yet let me say to you today, if you are a widow, your husband or wife has died, let me say this to you. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, you will forsake me and leave me alone, and yet I am not alone. But my Father's with me. I say to you today, you may be alone, that one that you loved, and y'all spent so many wonderful years. Let me say to you, you're not alone. You're saved. The Lord is with you. Now notice, if you will, please, her service. It says in verse 37, she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. To the average person today, when you talk about serving the Lord, here's what we think about. Well, I don't preach. I'm afraid to teach. I can't sing. I can't do anything like that. What can I do? Now you notice it didn't say she served the Lord out knocking on doors. No doubt her health and her age would have kept her from that. But even not, let me say to you, knocking on doors and witnessing is not all that's made up of service. Her service in praising the Lord and, of course, praying and fasting was just as certainly as welcome to God and rejoiced the heart of God as much as any young preacher preaching the gospel. See, it's a hard thing, folks. Yes, sir. And God uses different things in different ways. Many people, they'd say, oh man, you know, she's what she does, she stays in the temple, she prays and fasts. But what does that mean? Well, let me say to you, that means a lot in the sight of God. We have a wrong idea about service. Listen to what Mary, in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, we have Mary, of course, there in the home with Lazarus, and Mary and Martha, and the Bible says the disciples, and of course, Mary takes that alabaster box and breaks it and pours the ointment on Jesus. And let me ask you something. What did he say? People grumble. Remember, Judas Iscariot grumbled. He got the rest of them grumbling. That's a good lesson. Isn't it? If you grumble at somebody about church, it won't be long. You'll have somebody else grumbling. No person, Brother Jacobs used to say, Brother Moorfield, I tell my people all the time, hey, if you get dissatisfied, you're not going to be dissatisfied by yourself, because you're going to talk to somebody else and get them. But notice, she broke that alabaster box, she anointed Jesus with oil, and the Bible says the fragrance filled the house. Judas said, why was this waste made? I've been sold for so much. But Jesus said, the poor you have always with me, but me you have not. So in other words, we can be extravagant as we want when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not on ourselves, but on him. That's what he's saying. Then he goes on to say this. She has done what she could. That's very important. She didn't do what she would. She probably would have liked to have done more. All of us feel that, right? But we're not going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to be judged on what I wanted to do. If we can say truly, I've done what I could, and we are truthful about it, that's all that God has done. She's done what she could. She's done what she could. What more? Oh, she would have done more if she'd have had more. See? And sometimes we feel that way. Well, I wish I could get over here and visit. I wish I could. Well, the time comes that you're not able to do it. But on the other hand, wait a minute. Everybody can be a witness, but everybody don't go from door to door. Because I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't want some people to go from door to door representing our church. I don't know about you. I mean, really, some people just don't have, God's not giving them the ability to meet folks. Oh, they can be a witness. That's different from being knocking on the door. Everybody's be a witness, but everybody's not knocking on the door. And the reason being is simply this. God gives us abilities and things to do. We have several ladies at our church. They have given their ministry much of their Christian life to doing things like this. Let's say a family gets sick. You can bet on it. There'll be a pie there. There'll be a cake there. There'll be a call and said, what can we do? In other words, they've done it for you. Now, how would the Lord look upon that? Just like he looked upon the fast and the prayer by Anna. It is a ministry to the Lord. She did it unto the Lord, and it was pleasing to the Lord. See? We have a lady. She is in her 80s, and she... I stand amazed sometimes with God. This little lady has a little small home. She doesn't burn oil much because she cannot afford it. She has a little kerosene. She turns the heat on and puts a little kerosene heater there and tries to heat the house with the rest of it. This is what she's done for years. She gets up, has a Bible open, and she reads. She writes out every verse that she reads. She looks up the references and writes the references out as well, every one of them. Every day. All the way through the Bible. I thought, well, that's amazing. It kind of make me feel ashamed as a preacher. I thought, that's really, really good. You know, here's a lady in the 80s. And she's been doing it for years. Got saved reading one of Olive Green's tracts, best I remember. Here she is right now. So she told me the other week, she said, preacher, can I bring one of those notebooks? I've got a bunch of them here. Can I lay them back and maybe somebody won't take them and read them? Well, my wife took them home and she said, man, I can't believe she showed them to me. She write one color in blue and maybe then the references in red and just, you know. Why? Well, I said, I just never let you read it. You know, that is, there's a reference written out and everything. So, you know. I said, I really like this. Well, another one of the ladies has said, now, I wonder if I could, she would bring me one that I could use as well. And so I asked her this morning, she was saying, can I bring? And I said, yeah, just bring them on, put them on the back table, back in the box. Now, isn't that something? You would never think somebody 80 some years old writing down the scriptures. They go through the Bible, which he reads one chapter, does and tap, writes down every verse and all the references. What is that? Oh, it helps her preaching, but wait a minute. It's helped my wife. It would help me. Some of the people at church have already begun to say, hey, I'd like to have one of those. I'd like to read, you know. So we never know what God may use in people's lives. If we could ever get it through our head. We are so dyed in the world to think you've got to do thus and so and thus and so and thus and so. If not, you're not really serving the Lord. And nobody believes in faithfulness anymore. Brother Van can tell you that. I went to Tennessee Temple with Dr. Robertson was there. One thing he taught us, faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. That's what he taught us. And I believe that's biblical. But I was reading a while back, a Christian gentleman was talking to his friend. His friend was agnostic. And his friend said, would you stay at home today? It was on Sunday morning. They'd been talking. He said, will you stay at home today and just tell me, this answers some of my questions. And the man said, I can't do that. He said, I couldn't answer your question. He said, you know, I love the Lord. I've been saved. But I couldn't answer your question. Listen to what the man said. Would you stay home this morning and tell me what Jesus Christ did for you? How about that? He stayed at home with that man and told him what Jesus Christ had done for him, and it led to that man being born again. Isn't it strange what God uses? Isn't it strange? God uses them things. My wife and I had been through the years. We met this fellow. He's a businessman, done some work for us, but you know, we would just kind of see him just once in a while. We needed some work done. But anyway, one day we went up and stopped by, and I got to talking with him. And my wife was with me. My wife got to talking to his wife. And we just talked probably for an hour and a half. Just and I said, y'all go to church. No, I said, we've been busy around some, but we're not. I said, we would love for you to come. And he said, well, I got some questions. And so we talked on and talked on a good while. And finally, I said, they said, well, we might come and visit with you. And so they started to come, him and her. And anyway, I was up, just happened to stop by there one day, and he was in the back part of the shop working, and I was talking with him and her, and I said, well, I said, you know, the main thing is, I said, you know, is to be saved. I said, you can be saved and know that you're saved. She spoke up. She said, that's what I want to know. I want to know. So I stood right there and went through the plan of salvation with her. And I said, would you like to ask? I said, yes, I would, she said. She just right there in front of everybody just prayed, and I said, you pray silent if you want to, but just when you finish, said amen. But she didn't pray silent. She just prayed her life. Lord, I want to be saved. Well, the husband said, I've already got saved. Then they began to bring her mama. Mama was a primitive Baptist. Now, some good primitive Baptist. I understand that. Saved primitive Baptist like it up here. But anyway, they pretty, you know, the soft shell and hard shell. And she was a hard shell. And so anyway, she began to come, and you know, and so I guess after she'd come about 4 Sunday morning, she came over that one Sunday morning, and she said, I want to be saved. And she got saved. Now we're working on this couple, we're working on his sister. Now all of that came just talking. It didn't start out, I want you to come to church. It didn't come start out, Have you been? It started out just a conversation. How's your week? They're having a hard time. This, that, no, you know. You see where it comes. Now Anna was serving the Lord with prayers and fasting. Anything that you do for the Lord is a ministry and a service. Listen to this. If you give a cup of cold water, that's the simplest thing a man could do. Give a cup of cold water to a child in my name, he shall not lose his reward. But in our quote-unquote religious world, you've got to be doing so and so. No, the best thing you can do is this. Live for Jesus Christ and desire, endeavor to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yield yourself to him and say, Lord, I just want to live for you. Go on, live for the Lord. The greatest ministry today is not in the pulpit. The greatest ministry is down on the job. Now, what I mean is, don't misunderstand. God called me to preach. Nothing greater than preaching, not a high call. I understand all that. But folk, do you realize that you have an opportunity to go to work that the preacher never had? You have friends invite you to go so-and-so, go over their house for Christmas, Thanksgiving. Hey, you have an opportunity that nobody else will have. Preacher could never get. In other words, there are so many things. The gospel is not just Sunday morning. It's, you know, it is. We come to a fourth thing. Verse 38. She coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption. Now, as I said, God works in strange ways. Never ever forget, a fellow told me one day, I won't tell you the church, won't tell you the individual. Pastor came to the prayer meeting that night and he was quite troubled. He read one verse of Scripture. He was reading, Jesus was talking about his return and he said, then the door shall be shut. And they began to say, hey, now have we not, you know, been in your streets and such as that and heard. And when he read that text and the door was shut, the pastor just simply slammed his Bible together. Didn't say anything else and dismissed the service. And as a man had been in that service for a long period of time, he said when he read that verse of Scripture and slammed that Bible together, I thought about the door of salvation being closed on me, and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And he had heard the gospel, people had witnessed to him. He said every Sunday under the preaching of the gospel. She spake of him. We said, I'm scared. Well, that's always the case. You know, we are always uneasy. The preacher's not less uneasy many times than you are. We never know how persons are going to react. Give you an example of how God uses, folks, how God uses the least witness. Let me give you an example. We read in the Old Testament, about the book of 1 Kings, we read about Naaman the leper. You remember the story very well. How that he first went to the king thinking, boy, he good. And the king said, hey, man, don't. He rent his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, said, I'm not God, I can't heal. He sent him to Andrew the prophet. You remember he dipped seven times and came up clean. But anyway, that was not the start. The start came in his home. He said that they had taken away a little maid out of the land of Israel. Now, they probably killed her mom and dad. That's what most people think. And I think you could, even though the Bible is just probably true or close to true anyway, they had brought her back from one of their raid, so to speak, on villages, and they brought her back, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, here's a little girl, a little Jewish girl, and she hears about Naaman, and this is what she tells Naaman's wife. Would to God that he was with the prophet in the land of Israel. He'd make him whole. That's all she said. She said, bless God, you need to get saved. You're going to bust the hell wide open. Now, that is true. But she simply said, would to God he was with the prophet that in Israel. He'd make him whole. And lo and behold, down to the king he went, he turned away to go to the prophet to be healed. And it all started with a little maid. She was just working. She was taking care of Naaman's wife. But just those words, word to God, that he was with the prophet. And you'd be surprised sometimes, the right word spoken at the right time. Not only can bring somebody to the Lord, but a Christian who's going through a difficult time, a right word spoken at the right time in the right way can be like a bomb. So I hope maybe today something that was said would be a help to you. And again, let me say to you, thank you so much for letting us come. And we certainly enjoyed so much the food and the fellowship together. Father, as we come to the end of the service now, I ask that there be a need in my heart, whatever it may be. Lord, you can meet any need, whatever it may be. You said, call upon me. And I pray, Lord, if there's a, that they will do that very thing. And we'll thank in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
you'll seal the decision in hearts and minds today. Lord, people have come, and you know why. You know the burden upon their hearts. I pray that you'll take care of that. Give them grace and strength and wisdom. Bless us, and thank you for the message today and for this good day. Thank you for the fellowship in the Lord. Thank you for the Lord Jesus who died for our sins, that the gift of God may be eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray if there's anybody here that's lost, that they'll come see me or the preacher or someone in the church. We might be able to talk to them about being saved. I pray, God, that you'll help us to live for you, to love you, and to serve you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll let you be seated. Brother Will, Brother Julius, if you'll come at this time. Now, unless you designate the offering, tithes and offerings, we're going to receive a love offering for the preacher. I don't have any money, so I'm going to get my wife to put something in for me. She's got all the money in the family anyway. Amen.
You won't listen to words.
All right. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessings on the gift and the giver. Brother Will, you pray. Preacher, how many